I hope everyone had a great Purim. It was nice seeing you all at 6:57 Purim morning. Davening Shemoneh Esrei. Very beautiful. I hear a lot of girls daven Shemoneh Esrei, and I'm sure all their tefillos were Makabel. So, I want to talk about this week's parsha. I also want to talk about a little bit about Pesach. Now that we are in between Purim and Pesach, we spoke about last week that, and I apologize for, I was very tough last week. As you can see, the first row is empty. Everyone sat for the back. That tells me that I was a little too rough last week. But now that Purim is over, Purim's not never over, but Purim was, like we said, the first date, so to say, between Klal Yisrael and Kadosh Baruch Hu. It was love at first sight, and that was Purim. And now we're working from Purim till Pesach, and we're going to have Shiur Mitzvah Hashem the next couple of weeks, all about Pesach, and that Pesach, the Seder, is the actual engagement, the erison of Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means that the 4 weeks between Purim and Pesach, Klal Yisrael is sort of dating Hashem. Because if we met Hashem on Purim, and we fell in love with Hashem on Purim, and we got engaged on Pesach night, so what's going on in between? So we're dating. Now, anyone in the crowd that's dating knows that there's one problem when you date and you come home, and how do you, and there's a certain problem that I know in the boys, you know, they talk to me and the girls, and it's called like quiet time when like two people are sitting there and neither one is talking. And like sometimes a shachan will say, so how much quiet time was on the date? And if it's like more than 20 minutes, it's not a good sign. So that means that from Purim till Pesach, girls, we can't have any quiet time with Hashem. So you need to be davening around the clock and saying Tehillim because quiet time is not good for dating. So the 4 weeks between Purim and Pesach are leading up to our engagement. Now, what do you do when you're dating after the first date? The reason you date, you don't get engaged right away. And with, you know, respect, the Chassidim don't really date. They have what's called a bishul, and they know what they're doing. That's the truth. Because the rate of divorce in the Hasidic world, with just parents meeting, boy and girl meeting for a couple of minutes, it's a bishul in the house, and then they get married, and everyone's like, how do they do that? Oh, I would never do something like that. Well, bottom line is that they get married, and the level of divorce is 50% less than the level of divorce in the regular dating world. So something, they're doing something right. The bishul, the old ways, they're doing something right. You know, we want choice, and you know, and you see in the Goyish world that they're going out with each other for 5 years. They're living with each other, then they get married, and 3 months later they're divorced. Yeah, right. So that doesn't work. So, but Lamaisa, we're gonna take a step away from the bishul because we can really learn this in a Chassidish way. We could say that we met Hashem on Purim, and then 4 weeks later we got engaged. We davened, whatever, you know, but. But I'm going to take it to a different place. I'm going to say that we have 4 weeks now to find out about the chassan. 4 weeks. And it's Hashem. We're going to get engaged. Pesach night. We have 4 weeks now to find out about the chassan. The reason a person dates is to find out more about the boy. And Klal Yisrael is the kala. So our job in the next 4 weeks, listen carefully. What's the mitzvah? What's one of the mitzvos of the Seder? It's called Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. What's this Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim? By the way, that's a language. The word Sipur, the Gemara uses between a husband and a wife. The Gemara uses the word Sipur. That's how they talk to each other. So it's a very endearing word. So when it comes to the night of Pesach, the girl who got engaged, the Kala, is busy telling the whole world, isn't he cute? Isn't he smart? Isn't he amazing? Did you ever meet someone? She called up her friends. He's amazing. He said this, and he has a dimple, and oh my goodness, and the guy's great, right? That's by the engagement. So by the time we come to the Seder, that's why the mitzvah. I'm not talking chol things. I'm talking things that are written in very holy Sfarim. That the whole mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim is to sit there and talk about the chassan. V'chol hamarbe, harideh meshubach. The more you talk about the chassan, the more you're praised. Why? Because when the kala is proud of her husband, or her chassan, and that's what she's talking about, and she's going to marry that chassin, then she's really talking about herself. She's talking about a marriage. She's talking about herself. So therefore, the special mitzvah by the Haggadah to sit and talk about Hashem and all the miracles that He did for you personally, because it's like you went out of Metzias Mitzrayim. And so you have 4 weeks now to find out about the chassin, to sit and learn, and to read stories, and to read about Yetzias Mitzrayim, and to read, and we're going to talk about this, into your own life, about things in your own life. Last night I was... Okay, we'll get to that in a second. So, I want to read you a pasuk in the Chumash, that the night of Pesach in Mitzrayim, it said they had a special mitzvah that we don't have today. And it said, V'lachu min hadam, they took from the blood of the Korban Pesach, V'nosnu al shtei mezuzos, they put it on both sides of their door, right? Al ha-mashkof, the mashkof is the top beam. So they put it on both sides of the door, and they put the blood on the top beam, right? And asher yoichlu oisei behem, in the houses that they were eating the Korban Pesach, and the in Pasuk Yud Gimel, if you want to look it up, in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Perek Yud Beis, it says the following, V'hayo hadam, and this blood, lochem lo'oish, should be for you a sign, al habatim, on the houses, asher atem sham, where you are, v'ra'isi es hadam, Hashem says, I will see the blood that you put on the doorpost and on the two mezuzos, u'fasachti aleichem, I will pass that house, and therefore there will be no plague and no destruction in that house. I will pass over, and that's where the word Passover comes from. That's where the word Pesach comes from. The word Pesach comes from when you put the blood, Korban Pesach, and you put the blood on the doorpost, and Hashem saw that He passed by. Now, some people think that they put the blood on the outside of the door. Right? Hashem's zipping through the streets, and if there's blood on the outside of the door, He went by. No. No, Rashi says the following, Pasuk Yud Gimel. V'hayadam lochem lo'ais. Lochem lo'ais v'loy la'acherim lo'ais. The sign that you put on the door is for the people inside. Mikan, from here we learn, shaloi not no adam ela b'mifnim. Now they didn't put the blood on the outside of their door, so when Hashem goes by or someone goes by, they say, oh look, that's a Jewish house, there's blood on the door from the Korban Pesach. But they put the blood on the inside of the door. And the question is, if Hashem was supposed to pass by the house that had blood, why would you make him come inside, leave it on the outside of the door, that he would see this blood on the outside of the door, right? And then he would know. Or, I got a better question. The door had a mezuzah, it's a Jewish house. Hashem should pass by. But that's not what the Pasuk says. The Pasuk says, V'hoy adam lochem lo'ais. Now, that's very hard to understand because the pasuk is sort of contradicting itself. It says that the blood that you put inside your door should be for you a sign. Then the pasuk says, why? Ure'isias Adam, when I see the blood, I'll pass by the door. So that means the sign's for Hashem, not the sign's for you. Beginning of the pasuk says the sign's for you. Then the pasuk says, you know why? Because when Hashem goes by, He's going to see it. Then the sign's not for me. Then the sign's for Hashem. What's going on over here? And why does Hashem need a sign altogether? If there's a mezuzah on the door, it's a Jewish house, don't kill anybody. There's a famous joke about a mezuzah on the door. I don't know if you've heard of it. But there was this guy living in an apartment, a Jewish guy living in an apartment building. And there was a non-Jewish guy, and he saw that this, he was on the floor below him. He saw this Jewish guy bought a new car, bought a new Lexus. He's getting new clothing. His wife's wearing jewelry. And this non-Jew, he just can't make money. So he comes upstairs and he says to the Jewish guy, he says, what's your secret? And he says, what do you mean? The mezuzah on the door. He says, that's the secret. If you have a mezuzah on the door, then Hashem gives you all the riches that you need. So the non-Jewish guy says to the Jewish guy, so could you get me one of those? So the Jewish guy says, sure. The next day he goes to the Svarim store, buys a mezuzah, goes downstairs to the non-Jewish guy, and he says, I bought you a present. Here's the mezuzah. So the non-Jewish guy says, what do you do with it? He says, you put it on the door. I'll put it up for you. He puts it up on the guy's door. It's leaning. And he says, you're going to see that your mazel, your luck is going to change. 30 days later, this non-Jewish guy comes running upstairs, banging on the Jewish guy's door. And he's like, take this thing back. I don't want it. This is the worst thing you could have ever bought me. And he throws the mezuzah at him. And the Jewish guy turns around to him and says, I don't understand. You're telling me your luck didn't get better since you put that up at your door? And the non-Jewish guy looks at the Jewish guy and says, Rabbi, my luck got a lot better. But all those rabbis ringing my bell every 10 minutes. I have no money left. All right. A little fun to wake you up. Some people here, they're looking at their iPods, at their Blackberries, they're sleeping. So I have to wake you up a little bit. Okay, getting back to the serious stuff. So the question here is, so we have a contradiction. And the contradiction here is that Hashem, we're saying we put the blood on the door for us. Then we say we put the blood on the door for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's a very important lesson. And the lesson is that the first thing a person needs, this was the first Pesach. This is when we became really free. We really became free. You see, the wardens in the jail are there forever. The prisoners in the jail, they get out. So Klal Yisrael, in the Golos that we're right now, right? We're in jail. But we're going to get out. Mashiach's going to come b'mheira. We're going to get out. But the wardens of the jail, the goyim, the idol worshippers that we are under their care, they'll never get out. Because they're the wardens. They're very proud. We it's a free world. We're taking care. Meanwhile, hello, look where you are. You're in the same place we are. He said, we're going to get out of here. You're going to stay over here. So what Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim, what Hashem was saying here is that it's not what's on outside your door that counts. It's what's inside your door that counts. And you need to see what's inside your door. If you're going to put the blood on the outside, that's just for Hashem to look at. If you're going to put the blood on the inside, then you will look at the blood and you will understand what mitzvah you're doing, and then I will pass by. The most important thing, everybody's always looking outside. Everyone's looking outside. I spoke to the boys last night. There's such a wave of girls and boys, but more girls than boys, that are busy going to Kabbalists and to find out if this name is correct, if I'm correct, if I'm ever going to get married, look at my hand, do I have children lines, do I have marriage lines, how many times I'm going to get married. And a lot of these Kabbalists that people are going to are very not holy. They're very from the other side. They're very Tomei. And it's the biggest thing today. Everybody's running to Kabbalists. And many times, and so I asked girls, I said, like, they came back and said, Rabbi, you got to go to this guy. I'm like, why? She goes, he knows everything I did wrong without me telling him. I'm like, so why would I go to him? I don't want to tell what I did wrong. I'm like, hello, I'm going the other way. So I'm like, he knew everything you did wrong? Well, not everything. But like some big things I did wrong, I walked in, he looked at me, and he said, you need to do tshuva on this Avera, and on that Avera, light a candle, light 5 candles, stand on 1 foot, stand on 2 feet, throw 100 coins this way, or coins over your shoulder, put oil on your head, all kinds of stuff. But he's amazing, Rabbi Wallerstein. He sees things. So Nebuch, I said to this girl, I sort of pulled the air out of the balloon, and I said, ha, what's his name? She told me his name. I said, I got one that's 100 times better. She goes, really? Can you get me in there? I'm like, yeah. I said, this guy, he is unbelievable. Not only will he know some of the stuff you did, he's going to know everything you ever did good and everything you ever did bad. She's like, no way, not everything. And he's going to know your relationship with your parents? And your relationship with your friends? He's amazing. Really? How do you get into him? I'm sad it's you. What do you have to go to somebody to tell you what you did in the past? There's no one that knows more what you did in the past than you. You know everything you did in the past. You know your relationship with your parents. You know your relationship with God. Why do you got to go to someone to tell you some of it, maybe guessing, when you yourself know everything about yourself? You got to read your palm. You got to close your eyes for 5 minutes at night before you go to sleep and think about the stuff that you did wrong. And you know everything. So I said to her, I said, why don't you just go to yourself? Oh, go to myself. I said, you don't even have to pay. It's a freebie. You don't even have to write a kvittel. You know what you did wrong and what you did right. And she's like, you're mixing me up. I'm like, no, I'm not mixing you up. That's what this pasuk said. This pasuk said, put the blood on the inside of your door. Look at what's inside your door, and it's very connected to this week's parasha. Look at what's going on inside of you. You don't need to go to anyone to read your palms and your horoscope to tell you what you did. You know what you did. Or how connected or disconnected you are from Hashem. You know how disconnected or connected you are from Hashem. Just spend the time and look inside. Yeah, it's very scary to look inside the door. It's much easier to put stuff on the outside of the door. Hashem said, the mezuzah on the outside of the door is not enough for me. I need you, and the whole thing of the Korban Pesach, we're not going to talk about it today, but the whole thing of the blood on the Korban Pesach, and killing the Avodah Zarah, because the animals, they used to bow down to the animals, so they actually killed the Avodah Zarah, and to put that blood on the door, and everyone inside by the Seder, the children, everyone, have to look at the door, and see that the blood is surrounding the whole door. The whole door. You got to look at yourself. Blood represents a person's self. You got to look at yourself. Then Hashem says, you're going to look at the ois, the sign on the inside of the door, and you're going to see what it means to be a Jew, and you're going to see who you are. Ufasachti. Then I'll make sure that I pass by that house, and that no danger comes, and no evil comes to you. Everyone's busy looking outside the door, when it's very easy to look inside the door. Again, I have nothing against therapy at all. And I'm very for therapy in certain situations. It's very useful. Coaching, therapy, all of it. There's no better therapist than yourself. But it's scary to work on yourself. You go to other people and you pay them money to listen to you talk about yourself. Think about it. You pay people money to listen to you talk about yourself. When you could sit down at night and pay no money and talk about yourself to yourself. And sit down and go inside and say, my name is Chani or Yehudit or whatever it is. Who are you? Let me start to talk. This is what I did, and you know what? I shouldn't have done this to this girl. I hurt her. Now let me think, why did I do this to this girl? Did I do it because I'm jealous? I'm jealous. Why am I jealous? Yeah, self-introspection. Going inside yourself. Therapy, sometimes we can't do that. It's not so easy to do that. Sometimes it's very painful. We need to talk through somebody else, 100%. But the real growth, the great growth, is when a person is called hisbaitidus, when you sit at the beach. I sent the one girl, she's very brave, and she said, for a morning, I'm not davening Shmoneh Esrei at 6:57. You said sunrise is at 6:57? I never saw a sunrise in my life. I don't know how many of you in this room have seen a sunrise, not just seen, but looked at it and thought about it, a sunrise in your life. I know the girls who go to seminary, yes, they take you on the trip and you're Masada and you watch the sunrise, but the girls who don't go to seminary, how many New Yorkers, you went out to New Yorkers, you went to Manhattan, we did this little thing, hi, do you ever see a sunrise? A what? Oh yeah, on my television. No, live. Did you ever see a sunrise? I think you're crazy. So this girl, instead of going to Vasikin, she went to watch a sunrise. And she sent me a text after davening, and she said, wow, it made me think. I watched HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I watched the sunrise every single day. Hashem does this unbelievable miracle, this crazy miracle. Everyone walks around, I need miracles, I need this, I need that. Here, every day, the show's on. Every morning, 6:57, now it's 6:55. Hashem puts on a huge show. He brings the sun up from the darkness, and every human being can sit there and watch it. No, show me some magic. I want to see magic. Let's go see magic tricks. Right? People pay hundreds and thousands of dollars. They want to see magic tricks. They want to see guys do magic. See magic? Watch a sunrise. Watch a sunset. So Baruch Hashem, I don't know if I made the right decision. You tell a girl, go see, you know, go to sunrise instead of going to go to Vasikin. You know, hello, Rabbi, that's a little, you know, Vasikin's Vasikin. Baruch Hashem, she sent me a text message today. Rabbi Wallerstein, guess what? It's spring. Because I saw a couple of pink flowers starting to open. I was like, whoa. Introspection. You don't have to go into crazy stuff. In a flower, in a sunrise, in looking at the moon, right? That it disappears every month. Gone. Have a nice day. And then all of a sudden it shows up. How many people in this room look up? Look up in the morning, see the sun. Look up at night, see the moon. Think about why they just, they've been there since the beginning of the world. They don't move. Right? All this stuff is the blood on the inside of the door. Everybody's looking on the outside of the door. This week's Parsha, which is Parsha Shmini, it talks about what is kosher and what is not kosher. And in an animal that is kosher, it has to have two things. It has to chew its cud, and it has to have split hooves. The camel chews its cud. What does it mean, chew its cud? Okay, so there are two simanim on an animal to make it kosher. One outside, the split hooves, the hooves have to be split, and one inside. It eats hay, it chews it, swallows it, comes back up, chews it again, swallows it, comes back up like seven times until it finally digests the hay. That's called chewing its cud. If you ever saw a camel all day long, it's not eating all day long. All day long, its jaw is moving and that's it's chewing its cud. And the same thing with a cow. They chew their cud. You can't see that. You just have to know which animals chew their cud, which don't. Also, an animal, to be kosher, has to have split hooves. The camel has split hooves and chews its cud, but there's a piece of skin at the bottom of the hood, at the bottom of the hoof, and that is not cut through. Therefore, a camel is not kosher. But if you were to ask any Jew or any non-Jew, what is the most unkosher animal in the world? Everyone will tell you the pig. Oh, the pig. Terrible. Now, there's no difference between eating pig or eating lobster or eating shrimp. And if you eat a cow that wasn't shechted, these are all Isurim in the Torah. There's no more, eating a chazer is not more than eating anything else. But everyone knows bacon, pork. Chas v'shalom, the most irreligious Jews I do business with down south, the most irreligious Jews, they don't do anything. They tell, Rabbi, I want you to know one thing. We're not kosher. We're not kosher. We don't keep any of that stuff. But my children and myself, we don't eat pork. Now you're laughing, but there's some kind of mesorah in Klal Yisrael, like a malik, that a chazer, right? Ugh. It's trey, ugh. Nebuch, people eat lobster, they eat shrimp, they eat all kinds of stuff. But that? No way. They'll eat in a Burger King with cheeseburger. They put a piece of pork in front of them. Uh-uh. Why? Why? Why are we, do we have this thing about chazer? And the answer is that a chazer has, a pig has its simanim, it has split hooves, but it doesn't chew its cud. So what does it do? When it sits, it puts its hooves, right? Well, I have a mic, but it puts its hooves like this out in front of it. So everybody should think it's kosher. Because you can't see if an animal chews its cud. So it sticks its kosher simanim, its kosher signs, it puts out in front of everybody. And it wants everybody to see that it's kosher. And that is the most dangerous enemy that exists. Shrimp isn't kosher, it doesn't try to fool us. An ostrich doesn't try to fool us. An elephant doesn't sit there and try to fool us. But the chazer tries to fool us. It tries to say, I'm kosher. It's a Purim party that you're going to. It has the word Purim party. So, hey, look, I'm kosher. That's what Achashverosh did. Mezuzah on the door, kosher waiter, kosher food, Bishul Yisrael, right? Everything was perfect. He was the chazer. He put out his kosher stuff, and what was really behind the whole thing was on the inside. And therefore, the chazer, the pig, is the most dangerous, unkosher animal to the Jew. Because when you look at it, he's screaming at you, look, I'm kosher, I'm kosher, I'm kosher. And that is the most dangerous things. The things that they have this chulent party in Manhattan. Chulent party. They advertise. A lot of kids go to the chulent party. What could be wrong with a chulent party? Okay. They didn't say there's any kishka, so that's a problem, but, right? There's a chulent party, and all these kids go running to this chulent party, and the averos that go on this chulent party, and in other chulent parties, and on Facebook, on all those Purim parties, that they had one in Queens, a Purim party in Queens, in a shul, where girls and boys were together doing things they weren't supposed to, in front of an Aron HaKodesh in a shul. And someone said to me, Rabbi Wallstein, how could that happen? In front of an Aron HaKodesh? In front of a Sefer Torah in our generation? Come on. And I said, they would have never done anything, but it was called a Purim party. And once it was called the Purim party, their defenses came down. Because that's the chazer. That's, look, I'm kosher. And then, chas v'shalom, we fall down. If you know it's treif, if you know it's not kosher, you stay away from it. But if it's kosher, you fall for it. And I'm going to say this for the 190th time. Because I am just sick and tired of getting these emails. Women, married women, and single women are not allowed to talk to men. You're not allowed to. Because what is going on from things that are beginning as talking to men at work or going out with another couple as a friend is ending up in the worst averos that exist. And it's like Hashem keeps sending me messages and saying, you're not out of the box, Wallerstein. You're not crazy. Because one after another, I'm getting emails from people, from women, not from men, from women, who got into a situation with a man and she doesn't know how to get out of it. And she's married. Or she's singled and he's married. And it all started with a chazer. I'm kosher. I just need to talk to you. Can you help me out? I got problems with my wife. Can I talk to you? You seem to understand all of it. And Nebuch, the poor woman that falls into this, who falls in love when she's married to another man, she doesn't know how to get out. You can't tell someone to fall out of love. So the only thing that a person could do is to prevent it. And that's what it says in the Mishnah. Avera, gereres avera. You don't understand the pain that you cause yourself. You're hurting yourself because the truth is you're married. And the truth is you can't be with this guy. And the truth is, so now you're suffering. Because every time you see him, right, you're in love, but you're not allowed to do anything. So you're suffering. Who caused that suffering? You did. You caused that suffering. So the prevention, and Nebuch, two boys died this week from overdoses and drugs, two Jewish boys. Yeah, two boys died this week. Yeah, it's not a joke. So. What's I spoke to the boys about this last night. I tried to explain to you something. What avera gereres avera means. When you step out, when you start doing things wrong, and then you want to start doing things right, you have to suffer to do the things right. In other words, if you don't ever smoke a cigarette, then you don't have to go through withdrawal of not smoking a cigarette and wearing a patch and getting hypnotized and getting all the other stuff and going through that pain. But once you smoke a cigarette, or once you start drinking, or once you start doing something wrong, and now you did tshuva, you want to do the right thing, you got a problem. You miss it. You have withdrawal. So if you never would have done it in the first place, you wouldn't miss it. I am the prime example. My daughter's getting married in Mitzvah Hashem. I got to lose weight. I went to a wedding last week. I was out of breath watching them dance. All right, when that happens, you know, you got to lose weight. So I made up my mind. That's it. I have to look inside myself. What up? I stopped going to movies. I stopped watching television. I stopped reading books. I stopped all this stuff. And I can't stop chocolate? Come on. Chocolate is stronger than me. So I decided we're going to go to war. Wallerstein against chocolate. I'm serious. So yesterday, just to show you. Now, all my life I'm eating chocolate. My sugar's no good, right? Baruch Hashem, 6 months ago or 9 months ago, I lost weight. I stopped eating sugar. I had withdrawal. I would stand up here. I'm serious. I was dizzy. I could hardly see the room because my sugar was very high. And now all of a sudden I was dropping to the bottom. I couldn't control it. And I was suffering. And I said to myself, everyone else is not suffering because they eat like normal human beings. But I just eat chocolate and chocolate and chocolate milk and chocolate malt and that. I'm out of control. So now I'm suffering because even though I know what to do right, but now I have to go through withdrawal. So 2 days ago, this is a true story. I'm going to do a little advertising for Garden of Eden. So 2 days ago, I said, that's it. The way to lose weight is you have to eat your meals and nothing in between. And therefore, after davening, I'm going straight to Garden of Eden and I'm going to have myself, and I'm not crazy about this exactly, three white omelet. This is not for a guy, you know what I mean? With mushrooms and spinach inside and no bread and no butter and no soda, because you can't have soda. So I'm drinking ice water with lemon squeezed in it, right? and a salad for a cow, like this big. But I'm going to do it because I got to lose the weight. I got to dance by the wedding. I got to do this. So I made up my mind I'm going to do this. This was yesterday. This is a true story. Okay. Actually, no, I'm sorry. It was Monday. It was Monday because I spoke about it yesterday. It was Monday. Okay. So I'm great. Waitress knows me. I did this once before. I lost 40 pounds. I'm doing this. She takes care of me. She gives me the white omelet. You know, fine. I finish. Now, listen to this. The guy who owns the store, his name is Chaim. He's a very close friend of mine. Now, I always complain when I walk into that store, you don't make chocolate pudding anymore. He used to make chocolate pudding. He doesn't make, since I'm a little kid, that's my thing, chocolate pudding. He doesn't make chocolate pudding anymore. So he told me last week, I am going to make chocolate pudding for you, Rabbi Wallerstein. That refrigerator is going to be full of chocolate pudding. I said, that was last week. Okay, beautiful. Purim night, after the fast. So I go with my whole family. We're going to break the fast. We're going to go to Garden of Eden. I come into Garden of Eden. I'm thinking to myself, he promised chocolate pudding. I look in the thing that's going around. There's mud cake. There's cheesecake. There's this cake. There's no pudding. Okay. I see him. I think it was Sunday. And I said, you didn't keep your word. No, actually, it was Monday. It was Sunday. I said, you didn't keep your word. There was no pudding. He said, okay. Next time. So here I am, Monday. I finished eating my egg whites and the spinach, right? Like Popeye and the spinach. And I swashed it all down with lemon water ice, okay? And I'm very proud of myself. This is the beginning of my diet. Out walks Chaim. He says, I forgot. I saw you walk in this morning. The minute you walked in, I went to the cook. I said, you're making a pot of chocolate pudding now. He walks out with a steaming glass cup, right? Hot chocolate pudding. And I'm like, uh-oh. But Baruch Hashem, the Yetzirah is very smart, right? We know how he works. I'm not going to eat this chocolate pudding, right? I made up my mind. It's Wallerstein against the chocolate. But the Yetzirah is brilliant and as smart as you think I am, I'm not. And he says to me, this guy just went into the kitchen, stopped them from doing everything to make you chocolate pudding and you're going to hand it back to him? You have to eat it. So of course I ate it. So Shiloh, what's the Shiloh? I never in my life had hot boiling chocolate pudding. It was the most amazing chocolate pudding ever. Forget about it. So here I was, I ate the lettuce and the grass, I ate the egg whites, and here I am now sitting at the table, and I just finished the most delicious chocolate pudding, and I'm like, Wallerstein, you are a loser. You're a loser, total loser. Now, I had to go be Menachem Avil, so I couldn't go to work, so I had an hour and a half to be home, which is unusual. And I said, I'm going to go on the treadmill, and I'm going to get rid of that chocolate pudding, right? And I came home, and I said, who are you fooling? Today's diet is over. You had the pudding. It's over. You can go for pizza. You don't have to go on a treadmill. We're going to start tomorrow again, right? So I'm thinking to myself, here I do. I scream at people who smoke. I scream at people who drink. I scream at people who do drugs. I scream at everybody. And I, right? Imagine telling someone, I can't get past a glass of pudding, right? They'd say, you're a nebuchadnezzar. You know, there's AA for people who drink. There's NA for people who are narcotics. There's GA for people who gamble. And I'm going to start CA, chocolate addicts, right? And we'll have groups. And every time you want to have chocolate, you'll call your sponsor. And you'll say, I'm going to have chocolate. And he'll stop you. Right? That's where I'm at. So I thought about it. I went inside. I like to go inside. I like to go inside. It hurts sometimes to go inside. I said, why are you so weak? You're so weak. You should have told the guy, you're a malach. Thank you very much. I'll take it home to my kids. Put it, you know. Or, if you were really brilliant, you would have said, I just finished eating. I already, you know, I'm finished. I said, boring nefashis. It's hot anyway. Put it in a container and give it to me to go. And he would have thought I took it home to eat. He would be happy. And I wouldn't have had to eat it. I would have given it to my kids. I didn't think of that. You know why I didn't think of that? Because I didn't want to think of that. Because when I saw that hot chocolate pudding, I wasn't looking to make it work. You all understand what I'm saying. Take it into your own world, what I'm saying. I was looking to make it not work. So it might sound very silly because it's only chocolate pudding, but not very silly because chocolate pudding is pure sugar and it's very not good for you. And therefore, I had the same problem that everybody else has. So I went inside and I said, Nu, what are you going to do? And I came to the conclusion that the reason that I need chocolate is because my whole life, that's what I ate. So the pain that I'm going to have now in withdrawal, and I started today, Baruch Hashem. You know how many guys in my class sent me pudding today? You don't have any idea? And I'll tell you something else, even funnier. Chaim's going to watch this tape. I'll tell you something else. I didn't say anything to him. I ate it, right? I come home Monday night, right, from work, and my daughter, Hindi, walks up to me, and she has a paper bag. And she goes, Tati, we don't know what this is, but somebody left it by the front door, rang the bell, and said it's for Zachariah. And we don't want to open it up, because it could be a bomb. So I'm like, thank you. So I'll open it up, and that'll be excellent, you know? And I opened it up, and Chaim loves me so much that he came on his way home from Garden of Eden and dropped off a whole thing of chocolate pudding. In your face, Wallerstein, because I didn't tell him what was going on. So I went inside, and I said, you know what? You did this to yourself. So your whole life you're eating chocolate. Now you're going to have withdrawal. You're going to have to go on a diet. You're going to have to lose weight. If you were exercising the way you were supposed to, you know, you used to play ball all the time, and you wouldn't have stopped exercising, you would eat correctly, then you wouldn't be giving the shir tonight, and you wouldn't be having a problem in the next 2 weeks when sugar's going to, because you can't have sugar anymore, and you can't have chocolate anymore, and you're going to get dizzy, and I had done that already. I had gotten that out of my system. I did that in the summer. I had gotten rid of a lot of weight, and I went through the whole thing. And now you got to go through it again. And who caused that? I caused that. So when a person doesn't have veira, when a person starts talking to a man, when a person starts going on the internet where they're not supposed to, then even when they want to stop, it's going to cause a lot of pain to stop. And it's going to be very hard to be strong enough to stop. So why start? So, Ezehu Chacham Haroyas Anoilad. If you realize that that's what's going to happen, then why would you start? Then you're a very silly person if you're going to start. So the first thing is introspection. You got to go inside yourself, and you got to find out what makes you tick. And when you find out what makes you tick and you find out who you are and where your strengths are, then you have a chance. Not somebody else telling you where your strength is. When you start telling yourself that I have potential. I gave homework to a girl 2 weeks ago. We had a shir. And I said, I want everyone in the shir to go home, sit on the edge of their bed for 5 minutes. I want them to go inside themselves. And I want you to call me tomorrow and tell me what you found. So one girl called me. Maybe the rest didn't find anything. Maybe the rest didn't look. I don't know. But one girl called me. Hi, Rabbi Wallerstein. She just left me a message. Rabbi Wallerstein, I sat at the edge of my bed. I want to tell you what I found out. Right now, this is a girl that's been, you know, that's out there, that's not in school, that's going through a lot of stuff. So I was going to say, what is she going to say? What did she find out? I did this wrong, and I did this wrong, and I need to do tshuva, and I need to get close to Hashem. That's not what she said. She said something amazing. She said, I spent 5 minutes at the edge of my bed last night, and I looked at myself, and guess what I found out, Rabbi? I'm not as bad as I thought I was. Amazing! You could tell her all day and all night, you have potential, you're not as bad as you think you are, don't listen to anyone who says you're bad. Doesn't mean a word. That's the blood on the outside of the door. But when a person themselves looks at themselves and says, yeah, I did this and this, but I also have, I'm kind and I'm also this, that girl is going to fly. Let me tell you, this girl, her problems are over. Over. She came to the realization she's not as bad. If I'm not as bad as I thought I was, then I want to be good. It's not about people telling you how good you are and your potential. It's about you. You are the best therapist. You're the best makubal to help yourself. You know yourself better than anyone else knows you. Guess what? You're the closest person to yourself. How do you know that? V'ahavta l'recha kamocha. The ultimate love of another person is as much as you love yourself. So there's nobody that's closer to you than you. In fact, it says, L're'echa is Hashem. So Hashem says, the ultimate I could ask from a human being is V'ahavta l're'echa, which means love God. V'ahavta l're'echa kamocha, as much as you love yourself. That's the ultimate. Oh man, that sounds, I don't love myself. That's right. That's why Yitzhara is depression and depression and depression, and you don't love yourself and you're no good and you're miserable and you'll never be able to do tshuva and look what you did and you can't fix it. So now you're going to take that, and that's how much you're going to love Hashem? That's what the Torah says. You should love Hashem as much as you. So that means that you think Hashem can't be fixed and you're no good, Hashem. That's what the Pasuk says. So the depressed person, the person who's in pain, who hates themselves, can't love Hashem. Because the Torah tells you, you can only love Hashem as much as you love yourself. You don't love yourself, you can't love Hashem. And that's why there's such a disconnection. There's such a disconnection. And that's why depression is the biggest disease today, the biggest mental disease, and then Prozac and all the stuff that they're giving, because the Yetzer Hara knows that if I get the person depressed and he doesn't like himself and he's angry at himself the whole time and he's looking down on himself the whole time, then what's going to happen? He's going to give that to God. He's going to be angry at God. And he's going to look down at God. And if you hate yourself, you're going to hate God. Because the Torah says, V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. You should love Hashem like you love yourself. So if you love yourself a lot, now, what does that mean? That you walk around all day and say, I love myself. What does that mean that a person loves themselves? So I'm going to tell you something crazy. What does it mean you love yourself? That's not a good thing. You're supposed to love everybody else, right? Where Wallstein, you come out of the shir. So what did you learn in the shir? Love yourself. Don't care about anyone else. Just love yourself. What is love? What is v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha? What is love? My wife hates when I say this. What is love? Everybody likes, you know, love is roses. Love is chocolate. Love is commitment. Really? Love is commitment? There's people that are very much committed to their jobs. They sit and take toll at the toll booth. You think they love the toll booth? You think they love their job? Commitment's not love. True love, truly loving somebody else, means that you're willing to sacrifice yourself for that person. Rav Shimshon Pinkus says, the whole thing of a carbon, there's no closer relationship between a person and Hashem than a carbon. And therefore, the ultimate relationship was Avraham Avinu and Hashem through what? Through sacrificing Yitzchak. Sacrifice yourself is the ultimate love. So therefore, when a person, listen carefully, when a person is working on themselves, then sometimes they have to sacrifice boys, and sometimes they have to sacrifice some kind of music, and sometimes they have to sacrifice chocolate, and sometimes they have to sacrifice bread, and sometimes they have to sacrifice television. They have to. But what happens? If you're willing to sacrifice for yourself to grow, then you love yourself. Then you really love yourself. If you're not willing to sacrifice for yourself anything, I'm going to eat, I'm going to get fat, I'm going to get unhealthy, I'm going to watch things I shouldn't do, I'm going to be lazy, I'm going to be dirty. I don't want to sacrifice anything. Then you know what? You don't love yourself. Yitzchak don't love yourself. So the first step in loving oneself, what does that mean? Is that I want to be better. This self, this goof, this body is a vehicle for the neshama. If the vehicle is, tires are off, and the hood is up, and the engine's out, the neshama is done. He's got nowhere to go. So the person has to sacrifice certain things in life for his neshama and his guf to be one. That's true loving yourself. That's true loving yourself. It's hard. It's work. It's growth. You know, I'm not going to tell you the story with the those 6 inches. Sit down. I told the girl to watch the sunrise. Right? I said, I want you to do an experiment. Try it tonight, girls. Go buy yourself a lima bean, right? Or chulent bean, doesn't matter what kind of bean. Take a plastic cup and fill it with 5-6 inches of dirt. Take the bean and stick it to the bottom of the cup and keep watering it every day. You're going to watch this little thing grow, right? From the bean, it's going to come a little plant. We did this in first grade, right? One kid's didn't grow, oh, don't ask. Whatever it was big. Anyway, I can make up a story. His didn't grow, and one guy came in the middle of the night, and he put his instead. Okay, whatever. Anyway, it's not true. It's not true. We all said, ha-ha, yours doesn't grow. That's what we said. Okay, anyway, watch the little plant, okay? Watch it, how it has to push through 6 inches of dirt. Could you imagine how painful that is? It's to push till it reaches the air, till it comes out, right? That seed in the ground is a fighter. It's a fighter. That little seed, which is all together, the proof of, which is this week, the proof, anyone wants, everybody wants miracles and answers. You know, what's it called? Esha Torah, which is wonderful, a wonderful organization. I love them. They're great. Rabbi Mechanic, Rabbi Milstein, they're great. They're awesome. And they have certain crowds that they have to speak to, and they have to prove God. And one of the proofs is this week's Parsha. Parsha Shemini, it says that the Chazir is the only animal in the world that has split hooves and doesn't chew its cud. Now, there's only one being in the world that can make such a statement. somebody who knows every animal in the world. Now, if I was writing the Torah, if I was writing my own Torah, right, I would make sure that I want you all to follow me forever. I would never put anything in my book that you could prove wrong. Now, why would the Torah come and tell you that the chazir is the only animal in the whole world that has split hooves and doesn't chew its cud? Maybe 2,000 years from now, they're going to find some animal in the Amazon woods that has split hooves, doesn't chew its cud, and it ain't a pig. You know what? We take our Torah, and the Jewish religion is over. It's over. There's no God. God made a statement that there's no such thing, and there isn't such a thing, then God didn't write this. So no person would ever write something that could be proven wrong. Now, that means that somebody wrote the Torah that knows every animal in the world. That can only be the one who created all the animals in the world. Because Hashem can say, I didn't create any animal that has split hooves and doesn't chew its cud except the chazir. So Esh HaTorah walks around and they speak in all these places where there are non-believers, right? And this is one of the proofs. And the second proof is also in this week's parasha with the fish. It says that there's no such thing as a fish that has scales that doesn't have fins. Now, how can anyone know it's on the bottom of the ocean? How can anyone know? Some fisherman's going to be out there in the ocean, pull up a fish, and that fish, right, is going to have scales and no fins. Out goes the Torah. And that's even harder, because that's in the water. Nobody knows what's in the water. So if the Torah writes that, that means, actually the Gemara, that means that there has to be a Hashem, because only the one who created would know every single fish in the water. Now that's a beautiful proof, and nobody can fight that proof. Nobody. No religion, nobody can fight that proof. But it's not for me. Don't prove me God that way. I say, look at a seed 6 inches under the ground. You stick a seed 6 inches on the ground. Where's the energy for that little seed to push 6 inches of ground away? You put a bug, right? You put a goldfish 6 inches under the ground, it's not going to make it out. Right? This seed, it's a teeny little thing. I bought seeds, a tomato plant. It's a teeny little thing. It's 6 inches. That little guy, that little teeny seed, it has no battery. It's not plugged into anything. It's not running on oil or on gas. Where does the energy come from that little seed to push 6 inches of earth out of the way and then just continue growing? An apple tree, continue growing. Where's it coming from? So they'll tell you nutrients and minerals and new. So where'd that come from? Get to the bottom of it, right? Get to the bottom of it. So the energy that this thing uses, so I want to find Hashem by looking at how a seed grows. I'm going to put a little seed in my thing, and I'm going to watch it push every day, push through the ground, and also I'm going to have a bean plant in my not a bean stalk, but a bean plant in my room. And that tells me that there's a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every time I go to the doctor, and he takes my temperature, and it says that I'm 98.6. I should be advertising for Florida. Come hang out with Wallerstein. He's 98.6. You might get a tan. Everybody in this room is 98.6. That's hot. That's very hot. Could anyone in this room tell me where your batteries are? Where's this coming from? Is it coal heat? Is it oil heat? Is it gas heat? Is it electric heat? Where is the furnace inside the human being that gives the human being steady his whole life? He can go 80 years. Right, if he doesn't have fever, at 98.6. Not only your heart doesn't. What does your heart do? Your heart doesn't. Where's your heart? Your heart is a muscle. What gives the heart the ability to move? Where's the battery? Find the battery. Show me a battery. Take a sonogram. Take an MRI. Show me the battery that runs the human being. Yeah, the kid comes out, you give him a smack, he starts crying. Where's the battery? We run for 80 years, 90 is 120 years, without a recharge. Girls, listen carefully. You need split hooves to prove you God? 120 years, you run without a recharge. How long does your cell phone run without a recharge? 3 hours? 4 hours? How many text messages? You can sit and talk nonstop for 120 years, and it keeps going. You don't got to recharge it. It's amazing. A car. You got to put gas in. You have to go inside the door. This is what I'm trying to tell you. Hashem is not outside the door. You don't got to put the blood on the outside the door. Hashem is inside the door. He's in this world. Just think about the human being. The temperature thing by me is like amazing. Because I heard, why did that happen? Because I heard a story this week. Nebuch, somebody had died, an older person, and they called. I know the people, and they called, and they said that your mother, it was an older lady, she had 108.5 fever. She had 108.5, so they put her in this thing, blanket, and a balloon, whatever it is, and it went all the way down to 103, then it went back to 108.5. I said, 108.5? How does a person get 108.5? Now, really, what's the big deal? 98 to 108 is 10 degrees. But in a human body, every degree. There's no Hashem, every degree. You get 101 and you're done. You're walking around, I can't walk. Mommy, my head's, I feel miserable. 2 degrees! Your whole system is off. So Hashem had to put a thermostat in you that has to keep it 98.6 for 80 years. And every time it goes off a little, boom. You're sick, you're in bed, you can't move. You just take it for granted. Everyone in this room, you thought about before you came to shit tonight that you're 98.6 and you're walking around like that and it's automatic. So you know what this guy told me? He said that the doctor said that her brain stopped working and that there's a part in the brain that's your thermostat. And that part of the brain keeps you at 98.6. And when that stops working, the whole system, like in here, if there's no thermostat, the whole system goes crazy. I said, there's a thermostat in your brain? And doctors don't believe in God? There's a thermostat in your brain? If you take a sonogram or an MRI of someone's brain, do you see a thermostat? He's amazing, God. So Hashem says, put it on the inside of your door. You don't need it, all these miracles and all these soothsayers and all these people on the outside of the door. Go inside yourselves and you'll find the most amazing things. You want to see something amazing? Go to Niagara Falls and try to figure out where all that water's coming from. You want to see something amazing? Go watch a sunrise. You want to see something amazing? Sit and learn Torah and learn the secrets of the Torah. You can learn and you can learn and you can learn and you can never finish. Do you know there's a subject in the world that you can never finish called the Torah? You can never finish. There are a million books in Mir Yeshiva's library. You couldn't finish it if you lived a million years. It's an amazing thing. And the lesson tonight that I'm trying to teach you is to go and look on the inside of your door. Look, you don't need to go outside. You don't need to see big miracles. The miracles are inside. The miracle is in your body, 98.6. The miracle is in your potential. The miracle is being able to go inside and seeing what you can do and how you can change your life. But you need to do that. And guess what? When you decide to do that, someone's going to come along with another bowl of pudding. Because the Yetzer Hara doesn't want you to stop. And he's going to give you a good, frum, religious reason. You don't want to hurt her feeling. You decide you're not going to movies. You decide you're not going out Saturday night anymore. But the friends called, and I don't want to look frum, and I don't want to look different. And they bought the tickets already. And like you could figure out that you can give them the money for the tickets and not go. You could sell the tickets and not go. But just like me, I didn't figure out take it to go. You want to go. So look inside yourself and realize, I want to go. And that's not good. Now I need to work on it. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. So in the schus of all of us going inside, like it says, V'haya hadam lochem lo'ois. The blood should be for you an ois. Asha'atem sham, where you are, v'ra'isiyas hadam u'pasachti aleichem. Hashem says, and when I see that a person looks inside themselves, and Klai Yisrael is looking inside themselves to grow, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, then I will go past them. Don't get yourself into new stuff. Because if you get yourself into new bad stuff, it's so much pain and it's so hard to get out of it. Much easier prevention, much easier to stay away from it. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us all the schus that in the next 4 weeks we should get to know the chassan a lot better. There should be no downtime, no quiet time, and Bezrat Hashem will come to the Seder in Eretz Yisrael. We'll bring the Korban Pesach in the Beis HaMikdash. B'mehera B'yameinu, amen.